as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as the word came forth this morning, really was just really an encouragement for me. And thank you. I appreciate you being obedient to that. Amen. But that's an encouragement to everyone also. Just to keep on doing what we're doing. Keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on giving out the word of God. And let the word of God penetrate the hearts of the people. If you can get someone to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you know, and you can get them to read the word of God, it will produce fruit within their lives. It will change them. It will change their thinking, our thinking. It will change what's in our hearts as the power and the presence of God moves upon a people. Moves upon a people. And the word of God talks about in the last days, and we surely know that we're living, it seems like, the last days. And the last days, not the destruction of the earth or anything. I'm talking about the last days before Jesus comes for the church. Before Jesus comes for the church. Where it says in many scriptures, in Acts chapter 2, if you turn there, verse 17, it says that he would pour out his spirit. That he would pour out his spirit. It wouldn't be like just a little trickle. Everybody was at your house about 45 minutes ago or so, and you heard that rain come in. You heard it come in. You can hear it whipping. You can hear the wind and the rain just hitting against the building or hitting against your home. That's how God says in the last days he would pour out his spirit. It just wouldn't be a little trickle of things, but it would be a pouring out from the throne room of heaven to the earth. Because you see, humanity needs an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. The church itself needs an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The church, the body of Christ, we need it. We need a mighty touch from God. We need the power of God. We need the anointing of God, the presence of God to be evident in a church service. My God, we need to know that when we've been to church, when we go to church, that we've been touched by the living God. My Lord. That the power of God comes into a place. And prophecies come forth. And healings come forth. And just the presence and the power of God moving at will within the church. In Acts chapter 2 verse 17 it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Stop right there. Just keep that scripture up. It says that he would pour out from himself, the spirit of the Lord will be poured out upon just one person? No. Upon two people? No. Upon just a certain sect of people? A certain race of people? No. God says that he would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Talking about all humanity. Talking about all people upon the earth. All people that God is trying to move in. The power and the presence of God. You know, we think of places that may be dead to the Spirit of God. But, you know, well, in America, the power of God can move, or in certain or other countries, the power of God can move. But let me tell you, there's no barrier with the kingdom of God. There's no barrier of even a line that has been drawn by man to carve out a certain country. That's not a barrier to God. Let me tell you, he can cross over those lines by the Spirit of God. He can cross over those lines of drugs. He can cross over those lines of alcohol and evil. God has conquered those things. Jesus conquered those things upon the cross of Calvary. The power and the presence of our God. He said he would pour out his spirit. You know, sometimes we think, well, Lord, you need to pour some more out, you know. We need the power of God. We need the anointing of God. Let me tell you, it says, my people who are called by my name, well, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Make a statement, not seek the face of a big television. And I have many of them at home. I'm not trying to be, but let me tell you, and it's good to watch good programming every once in a while or so. There's nothing wrong with that. There's good Christian programming on TV, my God. But let me tell you what, the power of God will not move so much as we're watching that. But I tell you what, God says if we will seek Him, if we will honor Him, if we will love Him, if we will seek Him as the Word of God says, that the power of God will move. The power of God as we seek Him, seek His face to honor Him. That the power and the presence of God will come into a place. The power and the presence of God will come in a church. The power and the presence of God will come in a family. We're looking and seeking the face of God. Saying, God, we need a mighty move of God. We need a mighty move of God. Azusa Street Revival in the early 1900s. Let me tell you. They didn't have fancy chairs at all. You know what they sat on? You probably would be, oh yeah, I understand. Bales of hay. Bales of hay was there. No air conditioning. An old stove in the corner. But it says that he finally got rented a place for the Seymour. Black God, black reverend, a black preacher. It doesn't matter. He didn't, it doesn't matter. God doesn't look at that. God looks at the heart of a man. Let me tell you. And that the only remedy for racism is the power of God that can change a man's heart. That's all. Books won't change it. Talking won't change it. The only one we can talk to is Him above that can change the heart of a man. That can change. When I say man, I mean mankind. That puts all of us in there. But it says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now I want you to go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Great scriptures. Basically the same thing. Basically it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. What he was including was, you might say, your old men shall have dreams, and only your young men shall see. He was just saying, old men will have visions and dreams. Young men will have visions and dreams. Talking about mankind. The power of God that would move upon a people. Probably every one of you, if I got along with you, you know, and talked to you and said, tell me what God's doing, it would floor me. It would floor me. If I told you all the things that God is doing in my life and in the power of God, how He's moving and what He's doing and how He's speaking to me, floor you. It would floor you. That's good. Your life would floor me by what God is doing, and my life would floor you by what God is doing. The power and the presence of our God. Let me tell you this. Our God is not dead. Our God is alive, and He's seated on the throne next to the Father. Jesus is seated next to the Father. My Lord, the power and the presence of God that is moving upon this earth. It says in the last days that He would do mighty, mighty things. And we're looking forward to the mighty things that are going to take place. You know, we look at the world and say, my Lord, things are going crazy. You know, we hear all kinds of stuff going on. But let me tell you, take your eyes off of those things. Amen. Take your eyes off of those things and put your eyes upon the Word of God and put your eyes upon what God is doing by His Spirit in the lives and the hearts of the people, how people are getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, how the power of God is moving upon the churches, how people are getting healed and saved. I know I told you this before, but it keeps amazing me. North Korea, we think of that place, old Rocket Man, you know. We hear all kind of stuff. But let me tell you, as I've heard preachers preaching, and they say they know people in those countries, in that country, where the power of God is moving. Let me tell you, when God looks, he doesn't see a border. He sees a people that are hungry for him. He sees a people that are starving physically. And where they have to rely upon some God, and they turn to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because all their other gods have let them down. And they're starving and don't know where to turn. And havoc is upon their land. And God comes in by his power and by his spirit and by his presence. And people are getting saved. And people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have brothers and sisters in those places. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The power of our God. The power of our God. How great he is. How great he is. God speaks through those two scriptures. How he would touch people's lives through visions and dreams and through prophecy. Those things aren't dead, people. I want to let you know, they're not dead. And it's being awakening. God is stirring his spirit upon his church and upon his people. God is giving visions and dreams and prophecies to the church. Who knows best what's going to happen in the future but our God? Through his word. But the God and the King of Kings, how he's speaking through his people, how people are having visions of heaven, and how God is moving upon their lives, and visions and dreams about the presence and the power of our God, like no one else, that only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords could do. In the book of Acts, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it says that the power of God fell upon the church. In Acts chapter 10, or I think it's chapter 10 or 11. It talks about the power of God moving again upon the church. My God. But throughout the scriptures in Acts, it talks about how people were having visions. Visions, the power of God. And it's not for themselves, you know, but it's for God manifesting himself to the people and showing himself how strong he is, people. Yeah. We don't serve no limp God.
Come on.
We don't serve a God that is not strong, people. We serve a God that is strong, that can deliver his people. Look at what God did in Egypt, how he delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. That's the power of your God. How many of us were in bondage to sin, to evil, my God, to drugs and alcohol and evil around this world? And the power of God came in and saved our souls. And the presence of God broke the chains of bondage upon our hearts and upon our minds and upon our spirits that only God could do. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. In the book of Acts, it talks about, even Isle of Grace agrees with that.
Amen.
In the book of Acts, the visions that God gave, 8 times in the book of Acts, you can read it. 8 times there were visions. 2x dreams came about. 11 times the prophecies came forth by men and women of God that loved the Lord. My God, can you imagine? The New Testament church. That's okay. The New Testament church is not a dead church, people. The New Testament church is a church that is alive and well, where visions and dreams and prophecies, where we take the scriptures and the power of God moves upon a church, where we take the scriptures and the presence of God moves upon a family and moves upon an individual. How many times have you been in places not knowing what to do, and the power of God comes into your home, the power of God comes into your car, the power of God comes into your job, and you say, Lord, what do I do? And God gives you a scripture. God shows you what to do. That's the power and the presence of our God. We need to shout for how great he is. The greatness of our God, which far exceeds all things that we can even imagine. The greatness of our God that far exceeds all the knowledge that we have of our God. The greatness of our God that far exceeds who he really is. My God, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. The presence of our God. The power of God came upon the earth through the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, upon the earth, and upon the church at the beginning of the church age. And it will be here till Jesus comes back for us. Then the power of God will move during the tribulation like we've never seen before. And the power of God will move upon the millennial reign after that. My God. My God. You know, as I was studying all these scriptures, saying, Lord, you know, the one thing that I cringe at is that we know our God is coming. But the one thing I cringe at is that who will be left? We know this, that the only way to go with Him when He comes or when we die, whatever happens first in our personal lives, is to have Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. But we can read in Joel chapter 2, the latter part of the chapter, the middle part, these scriptures, and he talks about how the power of God will move during that tribulation time. We know that's the seventh year. Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that today. During the millennial reign, how the power of God will move. And as I was reading and studying about that, I said, Lord, I said, you will take care of the people that have been there. It brought comfort to my soul. Yes, they may go through many things. And many things may happen. But the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will be here. And just as he said that he would pour out his Spirit in the latter days before the coming of the Lord, as he comes, it also says that he will pour out his Spirit upon the people that are here during that time, during that tribulation, millennial reign, and all that stuff. And the power of God will be here. That we can rest assured that yes, as we are with God, and maybe some of our families didn't make it because they didn't believe that we were saving. They didn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we harrowed it out and kept harrowing it out and kept telling them how they needed Jesus, that God's power is still here. The Holy Spirit is still here, working on their lives, protecting them and being with them and helping them. It brought comfort to my soul, saying, Okay, Lord, that you will be here to help them, the ones that are left, Christians, if you want to say it that way. Maybe that once you knew him and denied him, once knew him and left him, but they now come to the realization that what we were saying, that the rapture of the church was coming, that Jesus was coming, that he would split those eastern skies, that they finally say, it has happened, that the power of God will be with them. They will turn to him. They will turn to him, and the power of God will work in their hearts and lives. You look at Stephen. Remember Stephen? Great man of God. Here he was. I don't know about you, but stoning is a very painful death. Can you imagine? You know, wouldn't it be better just to take one bullet? Yeah. Did you have people surround you like they did Stephen? And they gave all their coats to Paul or Saul at that time. And they just picked up rocks and they just threw them. But they didn't realize in the middle of that sermon was a man that was seeing Jesus. My own personal belief, I can't say it's absolutely 100% true, but I just personally believe as those stones were being thrown to him, and yet they were killing the physical flesh and body, I don't think he felt it, honestly, because of the Spirit of God. Remember, God's Spirit is not limited by man. We are limited on a lot of things because of our downfall from the beginning, humanity. But God is not limited. And I know this, that it says that he saw Jesus. And let me tell you, how many times have we seen Jesus? How many times? just in certain places where you're just doing whatever, and the Spirit of God comes into your room, the Spirit of God comes into your house, the Spirit of God comes into your church, the Spirit of God comes into your family, and it seems like it's going to be horror. Then all of a sudden, as the Spirit of God comes in, it changes. It seems like the spirit of evil leaves and the Spirit of God is just there. The Spirit of the living God. And it seems like those things are still there, whatever's happening. But something has changed. The power of God has entered in. And when the power of God enters in a place, the Spirit changes. The power of God moves. The presence of God is in that place. And it says that, oh, that Jesus, sitting next to the Father, stood up. Because he was taking care of his son. Taking care of his son. The power of our God, people. The power of our God. I want you to turn to a scripture. In Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Look at verse 27. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. It says this. As the rain stopped, I don't know. Well, yeah, there, you have the stuff there. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. It says, in these days, came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, and that was Jerusalem, Judea, all that area, which also they did, and send it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now you might say, well, what are you talking about? The power of God, people. Here, Agabus, a prophet of God, comes into Antioch. There's a bunch of them. They come in. And the Lord God comes upon this man. And God had called him to prophesy. He prophesied. He said, a great drought is coming upon the land of Judea and Jerusalem and all that area. And you know, when there's a drought, what happens? Everything dries up. The crops don't grow. I mean, it's just stagnant. Things start to what? Die. But this is what I want you to see is God will take care of his people. God will take care of his people. Here we see Agabus, a great prophet of God, comes into town. He didn't come in to prophesy. He came there because, you know, God told him to go, but he didn't know what was going to happen. God had called him as a prophet, and he stands up, and he starts to prophesy to them, and he says, look, a great drought is coming to Judea and Jerusalem and all this area. He's in Antioch. And you know what they do? The Spirit of God starts to move to take care of the brethren that are in what? Judea in Jerusalem. You know what happens? They pick up an offering. They pick up money. And it says that Paul and Barnabas take this money and they walk over to Jerusalem and Judea in that area, and they give the money to them because of the drought that was happening. Now, I know, you know, we have only a few scriptures, but remember, this is time. Okay. It's just like one day, you know, the next day was a brother. What I'm trying to get at is God will take care of his people, however he wants to do it. He knew Jerusalem and Judea would go through some drought times. It was coming. And already God had made provisions in Antioch with that church to help the people here. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That's the kind of God you serve that will take care of things before it happens. Will take care of things that God knows will happen, but we may not know. That God took care of the church. Because you see, every church is different, and God has to do certain things, and in certain areas. You know, the church of God is throughout the world, but you know, different parts of the world will do different things. God will take care of his church and the people in it as he sees fit. And he made that church in Antioch, they took that offering and brought it to them so they could go out throughout the land and buy the food and all the necessities that were needed for the church to survive. Praise God, praise God. We don't have to struggle, people. God will take care of these things for us. The power and the presence of our God. The power and the presence of our God. I want you to turn to one other scripture. Something else. In Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 10. Acts 21, verse 10. The power of our God, people, that will go before us. The power of our God that will go before us. Look at this. The same God. Look at verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, the same prophet. And when he was come unto us, he got with the group, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man who owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. They tried to stop him, people. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound over, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, he ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Here we see Paul. His prophet comes to town again. God takes care of his people. You know, how many times has God warned us about certain things? He's done it. I know it. How many times that God has put up stop signs and said, don't do that. Don't go that way. I remember one time driving somewhere in the country, I don't know, years ago, just going down the road, and all of a sudden I put on my brakes. There was nothing in the front. There was nothing in the back. There was nothing that I could see. And all of a sudden, I felt the impression to just turn around. Just turn around. I said, okay, you know, I don't know what was up in the front. I don't know what was happening there. But you see, that was just the Spirit of God stopping something evil from happening. And we know that, how God can do those things. Here we see Paul, a great man of God that loved God, that was bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. That's everyone except the Jews, okay? Peter was for the Jews. God raised up Peter to preach to the Jews, and God raised up Paul to preach to the Gentiles. That's everybody else except the Jews. Okay? Everybody else. No matter what. And here we see God raised up this man to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, Paul. And Agabus comes to town, and they, you know, they had all the clothes here, and they had certain girdles that they would wear. It really was like a belt. Like a belt that came around. And then they tie it off, you know, because they have their undergarments and they put on robes type things and they put on like a belt. They call it a girdle, and it was like a belt. And Agabus came to town and he saw this, you know, all the clothes or the belts out of there. He took that one by the scriptures. He didn't know who it belonged to. See, he didn't know it belonged to Paul. It could have been for anybody, any of the apostles, anyone. And he took it, and he bound his hands, and he bound his feet with it. I said, well, that's kind of an odd thing. That's odd. That he only did it because the Spirit of God told him to do it. We only do things because of the Spirit of God that tells us, and it goes according to the Word of God that God has given us. He bowed his feet and he said, whoever this belt belongs to, they will be bound when they go to Jerusalem. and you know who, and all of a sudden Paul comes around the scene, and they know, all the people in Antioch, they know that it's Paul, the Apostle Paul. And you know what they try to do, and I can understand, because they love Paul, they try to talk him out of going to Jerusalem. They try to talk him out of fulfilling what God wanted him to do. They try to talk him out of doing and preaching the gospel to his people. They try to talk him out of the will of God, out of concern for him, concern for his body. But the Spirit of God had already spoken to Paul and he said, I gotta go, people. I have to go. And at the end, you know, they come around and he says, I have to do the will of the Father. People, sometimes the will of the Father may not be the easiest thing to do, but we gotta follow the Spirit of the Lord. We gotta follow what God says to do, always with the measuring of the Word of God in our hands as the measurement. That we don't get blindsided, but it's the measurement, it's the guide for us. That the Spirit of God can move upon our hearts and upon our lives. We need the power of God. We need the anointing of God. We need the presence of God. Let me tell you, those two folks out there, and let me tell you, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the church. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy the body of Christ. He hates anything that resembles God in any form or any fashion or any way. And he wants to kill, steal from us, and destroy us. But God said, I've come to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. The power of our God, the presence of our God. And we can read the scriptures, and you can go back, and you can read Acts in the latter parts, when he went into Jerusalem. And let me tell you, these people rose up against him. They hated him. They hated him. They threw him in prison. They bound his hands and his feet. And again, as the scripture, as the prophecy said, people, that he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. We need to let the power of God move upon us like we've never seen before. God is willing to pour it out. We have to be willing to let the power of God be upon our hearts and lives. Be led of the Spirit of God. Be led of the Spirit of God. Not by our flesh, not by what we want, not by what we desire. Let me tell you, that's putting self down. That's not easy. That's not easy. That's not easy. But I tell you what, I know you are men and women of God that love God. And let me tell you, you will do what God tells you to do because you love him. And I know every one of you, probably myself included, for sure, have all made some mistakes and maybe didn't fulfill exactly what God wanted at a certain time. But let me tell you, he's no respecter of person. All we got to do, and I don't say this lightly, but all we got to do is get on our knees or go before the Father and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Father, for I have sinned. Have mercy upon me, Lord, for not obeying your voice and doing what you call me to do. Father, Lord, help me to fulfill and do what you've called me, Father. As David went before Goliath, called by God, he didn't let anybody discourage him. But he ran down that cliff to meet the 9-10-foot Goliath right on the other side that was knocking at him. And all he did was he went with what he had. And God used what he had to conquer that goat. Let me tell you, take the word of God and conquer those Goliaths in your life, people. Let the Spirit of God move upon you. Move upon those areas to change your heart and change your life as the power of God comes in to a place. Let God use you. Right, that song that we say, dry bones, let come alive, come alive, come alive, a great army. Coming alive. You know, it's an amazing thing. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God will use you no matter what. In the world, the young are passed away a lot of times, the elderly are thrown away. Because you're not profitable anymore, they say. But in the kingdom of God, everyone is profitable no matter what. Everyone's important to God. From the youngest to the oldest. From the youngest to the oldest. You know, one thing we've lost in the church itself, and we've lost it because, and I'll get to what it is, and the reason we've lost it is because we have a lot of elderly people in the body of Christ that have died. And there haven't been people to come in and take their place of praying for the churches and praying for the body of Christ. And God is looking for people that He can raise up, Gideon's men and women, to praise and to worship and to honor Him. And I remember years ago, you hear those elderly people praying, my God, give a shake to hear them. Let's get that power and that authority back. Let's not be ashamed of who our God is and what our God has done for us. Let's get on our knees before Him and say, Father, raise me up to be a prayer warrior, to pray and to seek You so the power of God can come in and save our families and save our children and save our grandchildren and save our parents and save our uncles and aunts and the power of God moving. As we continue to look to Him, we need the power of God like never before. The book of Acts, you need to read that again. Get that in you. The power, that was the beginning of the New Testament church, people. That was the beginning of the power of God upon the church. How God filled the church, the Jews and the Gentiles. How God moved upon the people. Miracles, signs, and wonders took place. As the word came forth, thank God for all of us. Thank You. We're on the right track. The power of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, that we don't take it away. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Praise God, praise God. As everything is bowed and every eye closed, we're just a minute, if you all want. Amen. I want to ask you a very important question. And I want you to think about this. If you were to die today, as immediately after you leave the doors of this place, if you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Would heaven be your home? See, only you can answer that. I know the only door to heaven is the one that paid the price, and that's Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, and if you'd like to do so today, would you please raise your hand? Can you make sure? Father, Lord, I just thank You, Lord God, for today. Lord God, I thank You for Your people. I thank You for the things that You're doing in their hearts and in their lives, Lord. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that You would help them, Lord God, this week. That You would raise up this mighty army of believers that would believe You for the impossible, Lord. And that, Father, You will move upon their families, upon the men, the women, and the children like never before, Father. Lord God, we give You praise. We give You honor and we give You glory today. Protect and lead and guide You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can look this way. Look, I want to tell you that I appreciate you. I thank God for you and love you. And I pray you have a great week this week.